As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Tuesday, July the 12th, 2011, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you most certainly are not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com. Engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at area code 512-904-8014 and join me live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening to any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, reallibertymedia.com, Channel 16, and talkstreamlive.com. Thank you all for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals stagnate. Markets run to the red on uncertainty. World hoax. Free energy machines not so free when subsidies expire. Flood news. Standard of living strikes. The new world order of Henry St. Simon. Techno-totalitarianism. It's all on the list for today. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to our market report for this morning in the first segment of today's broadcast. We find active trading out of New York City. We're at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, about an hour ago. Gold trading off $6.40 after yesterday's high closing. $1,548 this morning. $1,548, just what, 20 bucks shy of that recent high of $1,577. Silver off 50 cents this morning at $35.25. Of course, we're still 15 bucks shy of the $50 mark. We'll get back there again. Count this as a blessing. Platinum off $4 at $1,719. Palladium off $10 at $755 an ounce. Of course, that's all your spot market prices. You'll never be able to touch these metals for that kind of money if you're a broker. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,540 for a low, $1,556.20 for a high, almost $16 spread there. But at $1,548 even, your gold is up year-to-year $351.10 for a 29.33% return on your investment. This morning, of course, it was a little bit over 30% ROI. And whenever that happens, you know the gov's going to come in and squash it. And they did. They pushed it down $6. Maybe it'll recover and go back over that this afternoon. I don't know. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London, the London Bullion Market Association, are getting challenged in the east. There's another dog in the east, and they're setting up another exchange for metals and commodities. It'll be very interesting to see what kind of pressure is put on them by this. But anyway, the boys in London this morning set the price at $1,544.50. They've been trading above that and below that as the morning progresses. The SPDR gold shares overnight, unchanged. They claim to be holding 1,205.41 metric tons in the electronic treasure chest, valued on State Street at $60.3 billion. Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday, sea of red ink. It's red ink all across the board this morning. We'll cover that ink right after these words from our sponsors.
Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous sticker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Tuesday, July the 12th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, back into our market report. In summary, gold this morning off $6.40 as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but an hour ago at $1,548 a troy ounce. Silver off 50 cents at $35.25. Platinum off $4 at $17.19. Palladium off 10 at $755 an ounce. Red ink all the way across the board this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed down 151 at 12,506. The NASDAQ closed off 57 at 2803. And the S&P 500 off 24 as well at 1319. Crude oil this morning off 57 cents. If there's a silver lining in this cloud, there it is. Off 57 cents at $94.58 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. West Texas Intermediate delivered as they are at the Cushing Hub in Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning up 19 basis points, the only positive move on the market, at 76.16. Of course, that impacts the foreign exchange rates. For this morning, the Canadian loonie off 7 basis points at $1.03. The Mexican peso down 33 basis points, still yet at 9 cents apiece. The euro off 36 at $1.40. The British pound down 41 basis points at $1.59. And going the other way, the Swiss franc up 3 basis points, still at $1.20 U.S. In the bond market this morning, the U.S. Treasuries, the yield on the 2-year bonded indebtedness is 0.37%. The 10-year benchmark yield at 2.89%, and the 30-year running at 4.16%. the mortgage market this morning, the fixed rate mortgages, the national average, 15-year fixed rate mortgages, flat from a month ago, 3.65%. The 30-year, however, has sees a little bit more of a continuing upward trend, moving up from 4.47% a month ago to 4.51% this morning. The prime rate, 3.25%. Your gold to silver ratio is going to take you 43.92 ounces of silver to bring home 1 ounce of gold. Into the economic day calendar we go. Looking for today, Tuesday, July the 12th. They got the Small Business Optimism Index. We'll give that to you in a moment. Goldman and Redbook are both out. We'll talk about that. International trade tomorrow. The Mortgage Bankers Association will put out their purchase apps, and we'll find out whether or not anybody's buying houses in America. Import and export prices will be out, so much more. On Thursday, of course, we'll see the jobless claims again, and the Consumer Price Index will be out on Friday, so we still have a busy week ahead of us. Not too much good news, however, in the Econo Day calendar. The NFIB, Small Business Optimism Index, well, no optimism. The political drumbeat, here's the headline. The political drumbeat continues from the National Federation of Independent Business, whose text for June declares small business owners are registering a vote of no confidence in the federal government. It uses the word grave to describe small business concerns over the federal budget and asks, quote, who can blame the prevalence of pessimism when administration officials are telling Congress that small businesses need to pay more in taxes to support runaway government spending programs. Well, yeah, that seems to be the sentiment across the board. Goldman store sales, however, they're out there waving the flag this morning. The year-on-year rate of same-store sales growth is suddenly shooting higher. Better check your math again, boys. New math. To a plus 5.5% in the July 9 period from a trend all year that hardly ever exceeded 3.0. So likely the numbers are bogus. Let's go to the next one. International trade. The trade deficit unexpectedly. These economists can't predict anything. The trade deficit unexpectedly worsened in May. Kind of like that. You know, if you're not manufacturing anything and sending it overseas, your trade deficit is definitely going to be worsened. And it did in May, and sharply. Higher oil prices that month played a key role in the increased red ink. The May trade gap ballooned to a $50.2 billion from a revised $43.6 billion. Talking about trade gaps here. The May deficit was much larger than analysts' estimate for a $42.7 billion. Exports slipped 0.5% after improving 1.4% in April. The widening in the trade deficit was led by petroleum gap, which expanded to $30.4 billion. We get a lot of our petroleum from Canada, not Libya. But anyway, that gap expanded. For May, the price of imported oil jumped 5.52 or $5.52 per barrel to $108.70, the highest level since August. Although also the physical quantity of oil imports jumped 9.1 to 275.3 million barrels for the month after plunging 14% in April. What happened to that strategic oil glut that they opened up on us? Anyway, now we're coming in, filling up the strategic oil supply, it looks like, with higher and more expensive gasoline and diesel and crude oil and all the other things. Redbook, well, back to the stores again. Retail sales are strong, according to Redbook's same-store sales tally that shows a plus 5.4% year-on-year rate for the July 9 weeks. I guess everybody was out there buying their shorts, their sandals, and window air conditioners and fans. Man, it's been hot here lately. Absolutely unbearable. Well, let's go into this one. Not much in the news basket this morning. India's $3 billion wind market to slump. That's right. Sustainable development, world hoax, free energy machines. Well, they're not so free when you study the bottom line. Natalie Obico-Pearson writing this one, new news for Bloomberg. Ending a federal tax break for wind farms in India, the largest market for turbines after China and the U.S., would cause a $540 million drop in demand just as suppliers, including General Electric Company, expand their local capacity. Wind park installations may fall 15% in the financial year, starting April 2012 from the 2,600 megawatt projected for this year should the benefit be discontinued. So they take away the subsidies and these wind parks stop spinning. The government wants to axe an accounting rule next year that encouraged companies to erect most of India's 14,157 megawatts in wind projects as a way of cutting taxes rather than generating power. Everybody was piling into the wind turbine market as a way of cutting their tax rate rather than being concerned about generating electricity. And we discovered that when we were following the Cape Wind project back in July of last year, when the usurper created this National Council, the Ocean Council. Remember that? We discovered there that that wind park that they're planning out there that makes more money in carbon credits than it does in electricity. We can see some disturbance in demand, that's sustainable development for you right there, and some filtering out of the smaller players. So it'll go to the big hands and the little guys will fall by the wayside. So much for small business. India's biggest property developer and another one, a mining unit of billionaire Anil Agarwal, what a name, Anil Agarwal, I'm being kind, used the tax benefit called accelerated depreciation to build some of India's largest wind farms. Project design documents show the accelerated depreciation accounting method allows companies to write off investments at a faster rate than normal, which reduced their tax liabilities. So much for Don Quixote's windmills. We'll be right back.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the meadows of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
And slapping our way through the news basket this morning, Leon Panetta presses Iraq for a decision on keeping U.S. troops past the end of the year. Probably one of the dumbest questions ever asked. Anyway, this one by Bloomberg's Viola Ginger, writing this one. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta urged the Iraqi leaders to decide quickly on whether they wanted the U.S. troops to stay in the country longer, and he pressed them to act forcefully against alleged Iranian-backed militias targeting the force. I mean to tell you, folks, you ask the Iraqi people whether they want the United States jackbooted thugs to stay in their country or not, they'd probably volunteer to load the gear on the next plane out. In separate meetings with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, or Maliki, and President Jalal Talabani. Wait a minute, I thought we were waging a war on the Taliban. This guy's in there, President Jalal Talabani. I wonder if he's related to the Taliban, huh? Panetta stressed the U.S. is running out of time. Yeah, it sure is, Bubba. Anyway, what a jerk. The secretary made clear we're neither pressuring nor pleading for U.S. troops to remain here as he got on his knees. Licked at their boots. And we're continuing to withdraw our forces. Yeah, that's what he told her in the middle of the night. I'll just withdraw, honey. He said we need to know as soon as possible. The two countries have begun joint operations to halt a spate of attacks on American troops by a type of mortar and particularly powerful roadside bomb, and they're trying to link it to Iran, and they're banging the war drums, and what a bunch of idiots. Anyway. Montgomery Civil Rights Group. It's been a long time since you read that sort of stuff. Montgomery, it reminds me of Berkeley, California. Montgomery Civil Rights Group sues to block Alabama immigration crackdown. Tom Schoenberg writing this one for Bloomberg. An Alabama-based civil rights group sued to block the state's new immigration law from taking effect, calling the statute's crackdown on illegal immigrants, quote, the most extreme in the nation. Extremists at every level of government in Alabama. The federal lawsuit filed today by the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's a pimp. Morris Lees, you scumball. In Montgomery, it charges or challenges such provisions of the statutes as making it a crime to transport illegal immigrants and requiring school officials to determine the immigration status of students and their parents. You can see them just throwing them off the school buses. Get out of our bus, bunch of illegals. Dropping them out of the schools, you know, forcing them out in the rain. What a sad story. Alabama's immigration law is blatantly unconstitutional. Oh, really? Tell me where it says anything in our Constitution, any of them, giving room for these illegals to be here. Anyway, Mary Bauer, the Law Center's legal director, Bauer. Yeah, right. You know her nationality, I guess. The Law Center's legal director said in a statement on the group's website, quote, this law revisits the state's painful racial past and tramples the rights of all Alabama residents. Well, why don't you ask the Negroes in Alabama how they like to be put into the third place there under the Hispanics. Las Raza. The suit was brought in federal court in Huntsville on behalf of several civil rights organizations and unions, including the American Civil Liberties Union and the National Immigration Law Center. Plaintiffs include Matt Webster, who's adopting two boys who don't have current federal immigration status. Well, Matt, that was kind of like a dumb thing to do. According to the complaint, Webster and his wife won't be able to obtain lawful status for the children until 2 years after their adoption. Proper prior planning, Matt, prevents poor performance. Why don't you go live in Mexico with your illegals or wherever they're from and then bring them in lawfully? Under the Alabama law, Webster would be violating the law by providing for the children and transporting them, the suit says. Anyway, long article. You can read more about it, but they've got all of the all of them out there championing for that. Here's another one. Chesapeake forms a $1 billion fund to boost natural gas demand. Found this one rather interesting this morning. might want to activate this in my own life. Mike Lee, Chesapeake Energy Corporation, the most active U.S. natural gas driller, will form a $1 billion fund to invest in companies that develop infrastructure or technology to increase the use of gas, that'd be natural gas, as a motor fuel. For the fund's initial investments, Chesapeake will spend $155 million to buy half of the closely held Sundrop Fuels, Inc., which plans to build a plant to convert gas and waste products into motor fuel. The Oklahoma City-based company said in a statement today the plant is expected to open in 2013 with a capacity of 40 million gallons of fuel a year. I'd like to get in that pipeline. It'll also spend $150 million over 3 years on bonds issued by the Clean Energy Fuels Corporation, a company that builds fueling stations for heavy trucks that run on gas instead of diesel fuel. Chesapeake will make the current and future investments via Chesapeake NG Ventures over the next 10 years. So this is kind of like an IPO advertisement. Bloomberg does this sort of stuff a lot. But there is content in the article. What we're trying to do is create a demand revolution. Oh, another revolution in the air. A demand revolution, that's like sustainable development, that will have even more benefits than the supply revolution that our company helped create in the last 5 years. So they've got to have both sides of this equation. You have to have the demand to match the supply. You can continue to build Don Quixote's windmills and the little solar cells, but until people step up to the plate and say, hey, I'll buy that, you still haven't got a business transaction. Chesapeake and other gas producers are hoping that converting cars and trucks to using gas can help boost prices that have declined by 68% in the past 3 years as production has climbed. Prices have dropped to an average of 4.288 or $4.29 per million British thermal units this year after reaching $13.58 in 2008. All right? There's a possibility here that you could really cut the bottom out of your expenses. Liquid natural gas sells for $1.50 to $2 less per gallon than the equivalent amount of diesel and produce less carbon dioxide and other pollutants when burned. So if we can convert our gasoline-powered and our diesel-powered trucks and cars to run on this new product here, this liquefied natural gas at their various stations, we might be able to get back enjoying, you know, America once more. Interesting concept. Militants blow up an Egypt-Israeli gas pipeline terminal in a pre-dawn attack. Sounds like a pretty good program here. There's the article by Mahmoud Qassam, July the 11th. Militants blew up an Egyptian pipeline terminal that supplies gas, it'd be natural gas again, to Israel in a pre-dawn attack. The state-run Middle East News Agency, that's the MENA, MENA, reported today, citing eyewitnesses. The station in the northern Sinai, or Sinai Peninsula, was burning and flames could be seen from a distance. The Cairo-based news agency said a station guard and his family were injured in the blast, and a security cordon was set up in the area, Mina said. The blast is the fourth attack on the pipeline since the start of the popular revolt in Egypt that led to the toppling of President Hosni Mubarak on February the 11th. Israel gets about 40% of its gas from Egypt. Egypt holds Africa's third largest gas reserves, with 78 trillion cubic feet, according to a data compiled by Bloomberg. It exported 650 billion cubic feet of gas in 2009, of which 30% went through that pipeline to Israel or via a separate link to Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon, according to the U.S. Energy Department. So things are not looking too good. During this uprising against Mubarak, some protesters demanded that the government stop exporting gas to Israel, with which the North African country signed a peace treaty in 1979. The Muslim Brotherhood, that'd be the Muslims, Egypt's biggest opposition group under Mubarak, repeatedly criticized his regime for exporting to Israel at prices that were below market rates. Well, we'll be right back and get wet with the Missouri floods. Stay tuned.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Zlobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com. You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so everybody's doing the hucklebuck trying to get into Missouri and other places to buy up land along the rivers that have flooded. And it's going to continue for some time, no doubt about it. Here we've talked about the FEMA's all-hazard mitigation planning program in the past, a little bit about planning commissions and so on and so forth, getting the county commissioners to get involved with these floodplain buyouts, getting people to move up, out, and away from floodplains. And, of course, here I'll just share a little bit with you off the FEMA's website. Now, this is a release date of September the 1st of 2008. Put some perspective on this. Jefferson City, Missouri, the record-setting and unprecedented flooding that lasted from the spring of 1993 into the early part of 1994 served as the catalyst for Missouri governments to look for solutions to the devastation and suffering caused by the massive floods. But, of course, it was in about 1993, 1994 when these FEMA hazard mitigation programs started to really get rolling. And in the wake of Agenda 21, that was 1992, the Rio Earth Summit. So we shouldn't be too surprised here that this is on the FEMA's website. This is kind of one of those go-to articles that they refer to frequently. As a result, voluntary acquisitions or buyouts of flood-prone properties became the choice of action using Federal Emergency Management Agency, state and local government funds. The program has been widely successful and proved itself again during the floods of 2008. Faced with the grim fact that 37,000 people were displaced from their homes for prolonged periods in the 1993 flooding, state leaders embarked on a buyout program that became a model for the nation. You want to be very careful when you start hearing those kinds of words. This is the all-hazard mitigation program. In the book, Natural Hazard Mitigation, Recasting Disaster Policy and Planning, boy, that's one I need to get, 1998, the authors David Godchalk, Timothy Beatley, and Philip Burke and David Brower write, quote, "The state of Missouri took advantage of a window of opportunity to make the system work in a way that appears to be unmatched in our case studies. Because of the large number of residents displaced, coupled with the prolonged flooding," sound familiar? Sound like this just happened last week, didn't it? "State and local government leaders realized that the success of the program would be measured by how quickly the buyouts took place. This intensified in May of 95, when the state was inundated once again to nearly the same record levels of 1993 events." Of course, we found that if they modify the amount of snowpack that builds up above that dam and the rain levels, you know, fill that reservoir up, that they can jiggle the handle and create floods. Anyway, by that time, the program had gained popularity. 2,000 properties had been acquired in 50 separate communities. Of course, these are your county commissioners out running around selling floodplain insurance and buying properties. Buyouts. It's like buying in and buying out. It was an endorsement that the effort was of great benefit to the victims devastated by repeated flooding. Key word there, repeated flooding. What's the whole idea? For the insurance companies, this means the avoidance of repetitive loss claims. All right? Key phrase, repetitive loss claims. "And we already had many satisfied customers," said Buck Catt, SEMA, that would be the State Emergency Management Agency in Missouri, deputy director at the time, and the state's main architect of the plan. The plan. It's the plan. In the years following 1995, additional mitigation funds became available, and the state continued the effort. To date, the state and local governments have completed buyouts in 99 separate communities, totaling 4,045 properties. The article continues. Let's get into the new news. Southeast Missourian, where we find this article. "Southern Illinois residents considering flood buyout option." Monday, July the 11th. Yesterday's news by Aaron Hevern, writing for the Southeast Missourian. Here's the article. Olive Branch, Illinois. Olive Branch. Raising up the olive branches. Well, how symbolic. 2 days after Ishtar, boy, this is getting deep, Clinton and Susan Picard watched as floodwaters rose about an inch per hour. They'd already moved most of their belongings out of the home in the old Alexander County of Cache, Illinois, about 2 miles from the Highway 127 and Highway 3 intersection. A few days later, they brought in a pontoon to haul out their furniture. "We got 19 inches of water in that house," Clinton Picard said Sunday as he shared a meal with his wife in Olive Branch, one of many southern Illinois towns that got hit with record flooding this spring. Residents of the small communities, including the Picards, met on July the 5th in Tamas, Illinois, to learn about buyouts and how they work, as well as ways of dealing with future floods. All right? This is called the opening salvos here of Rewilding America. All right? We're gonna return America to the pre-Cristobal Columbus period. Anyway, residents of the small community. The meeting was hosted by whom? By Alexander County, Illinois Emergency Management Agency, and other state officials. Despite the flood damages and the cost of renovations, which will keep the Picards out of their home for at least another month, agreeing to a buyout with the state isn't an option. "We raised our kids in this house. My husband was raised here," Susan Picard said. Patty Thompson, spokeswoman for IEMA, it's all emergency management, folks. It's all enhanced 911 on steroids, said the meeting is the first step in a long process, one that may not appeal to all of the Alexander County residents. It is somewhat lengthy process because the community and the residents themselves have to talk and weigh the pros and cons for what they want to do. It's still so early in the whole process that really it wasn't a place for them to tell us if they're interested in a buyout. We've got to dialogue into consensus. We've got to get everybody on board. All right? And so then continuing, however, Milton Picard is definitely in a buyout at 91. He and his wife of more than 70 years have had enough. Well, buddy, some people count it a blessing to live 70 years. You're 91. Did you move to an apartment? Anyway, every home they've ever owned together, he said Sunday, has been affected by flooding. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Milton, come on. You buy houses in a floodplain. He says, I just have to throw up my hands. Good God. As a younger man, he saw his... Oh, I don't need to go into it. Anyway, so here's a repeating story of Milton. He's like the poster boy for stupid. All right? Anyway, he's lived to 91, so he can't be all bad, I guess. Been married for 70 years. At least that's a testimony to his patience. Scientists, another article, this one off the Missourian. Scientists question flood benefits of public lands along the Missouri River. All right? This was a July 5th article. Anthony Schick. Writing, Columbia, Missouri, public lands along the Missouri River don't soak up nearly as much floodwater as previously believed. They got all this kind of scientific data out there. They claim that, you know, boy, if we could just rewild all this land, it'll all be good, right? It'll be good. We'll be good to go. Well, that's not quite what science is telling us today. At least that's the initial conclusion of Rob Jacobson, who has studied the river for 20 years. The idea of publicly managed wetlands warding off big floods was, quote-unquote, wishful thinking. Kind of falls in the same category of the two damn beds. That's what I say. Yeah, we file that one under all the two damn beds. Anyway, it was wishful thinking, he said. And it couldn't be backed by science. All right? Jacobson, the chief of river studies for the U.S. Geological Survey of Columbia, recently began measuring the flood-reducing effect of public lands designed to let floods in rather than to keep them out. I was hearing a lot of discussion in the press about how the conservation lands were probably contributing to decreasing flood peaks, he said. And I said, well, is that likely? What he found thus far through what he calls the back-of-the-envelope calculations... Please, somebody buy this man a calculator. A little Texas instrument, you know, you could get them at Walmart for $8. Could scratch it on the back of an envelope. It's that the effect of those lands was overestimated. They do have some effect on downstream flooding, but in a flood as large and as long-lasting as this one, that effect will be insignificant. So all this discussion about floodplain buyouts, it don't buy into that, folks. It don't work. Recovery coordinator? Don't count on home buyouts, they say. July 8th, Jill Schramm, writing this one for the Minot, North Dakota Daily News, MinotDailyNews.com. Although home buyouts will likely be a part of Minot's future, why not Minot, you know? Although home buyouts built a beautiful horse barn up in Minot back in the early 70s. It was the last big barn that J&R Construction built, and it was a lot of fun to do it. That was a beautiful farm, a beautiful horse barn, if I have to say so myself. Even though I did fall straight down through the roof into a pile of lumber, fortunately I just missed the corner of the table saw. Ah, that hurt. We'll be right back.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here is a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So we've had just about everything under the sun thrown at us this year in, in the central states. I guess we haven't had our locust plague yet, but I'm sure they can figure out how to do that. Maybe it'll be one of these little genetically modified robot locusts that have cameras and recording equipment, and it'll just throw them out against the people. Anyway, this out of LaMinotDailyNews.com. Recovery coordinator, don't count on home buyouts. Jill Schramm writing. Although home buyouts will likely be part of Minot's future flood mitigation, the state's flood recovery coordinator urges residents not to count on it. The amount of damage compared to the amount of mitigation funds that will be available next year, there's a huge difference between the two, said Major General Murray Sagsveen, state coordinator. Sagsveen, S-A-G-S-V-E-E-N. The heck did they find Murray? Anyway, he's the state coordinator at a news conference on Thursday. Quote, that basically means that people who have extensively damaged homes should not rely on the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program for a buyout. It may happen. It may be available. But my recommendation is that you not plan on it. He doesn't say it, but of course they're probably handing out George Soros' business cards. Even if money is available for buyouts, the city isn't likely to see it for at least a year. All right? It's like go fish, you know? Representing the government's officer, Major General Dave Spryznetyk. Where'd they get these people, man? What, do they got a pipeline to the Soviet Union or Poland? Spryznetyk. How'd you like to write your checks out with that name every month? Of the North Dakota Army National Guard. Right. Explained that the only specific program for buyouts is the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. The state receives 15% of the total cost of a disaster for hazard mitigation. which has been used in the past for buyouts. At this point in time, our expectations is that the total flood cost for 2011 is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 million to $300 million, and George Soros can run that out of his expense account. We won't know that final tally until sometime late this fall. I'll just go talk to Wen Jiabo or Hu Jintao. I'm sure they could loan you the money. We won't know that. They'll just bring over a bunch of bonds and throw it back into circulation, treasury bonds. At this point in time, we don't expect more than $40 million to $45 million that would be available for buyouts. You can't get the idea that doesn't provide for very many homes and so on. An estimated 3,100 homes, including mobile homes, are considered extensively or completely damaged. If a buyout occurs, the price is based on the average of two assessments of what would have been the home's value prior to the flood in the face of a 35% decline in real estate values across the board. Sprinsenziknik said, easy for him to say, every appropriate federal and state program is being pursued for funding, no doubt. Better go talk to Congress. They're trying to find about, $15 or $20 trillion. Depending on available funding, the city may have to prioritize which homes on its buyout list it can actually afford to buy out, Sprinzintiak said. The 805 homes listed by FEMA, they should have got a guy named Smith, make it easier on the journalists. The 805 homes listed by FEMA as most heavily damaged may not be the ones purchased, he said. Why would they want to purchase a heavily damaged home? The priority will be homes in areas that provide the most benefits for future flood control. But what they're going to do is they're going to come in and raise the houses. They'll bulldoze them down. All right? They will bulldoze them down. That's the idea. And then they turn them into green zones. Green zones, where human habitation will no longer be allowed. That's what happens. You got to read the fine print, folks. This is the rewilding of America, but it's extremely expensive. It's another one of these socialist pipe dreams, another utopian nightmare. Well, talk about a nightmare. High winds snap trees and bring down power lines. We just can't get away from this stuff. This is out of the Des Moines Register.com. Tens of thousands of Iowa customers were without electricity on Monday night. This is new news. July the 11th. And some could remain sweaty, boy am I ever, and in the dark, have been for years, for at least 2 days as crews work around the clock to repair damage from wind storms that, experts said, were the worst in the region since 1998. No injuries were reported and no tornadoes hit the state. But by 9 o'clock p.m. on Monday, almost 24,000 state customers were still without power, according to estimates from the Mid-American Energy, Alliant Energy, and the Iowa Association of Rural Electric Co-ops. Quote, the issue we're running into is the transmission system suffered significant damage. What we're trying to do is to work at the problem from both ends. We want to get those transmission lines fixed and up and running so power can be restored to those customers and their communities. But we're also trying to fix the lines within the communities so when those transmission lines are repaired, we can get the power back to them as soon as possible. Well, what's it all about? The storms with winds unofficially clocked as fast as 110 miles per hour blasted Iowa shortly after 3 a.m., ripping off roofs, splintering trees, and spinning a wave of destruction from Palo Alto to Tama counties and nearly every locale in between. The storms also knocked a smokestack off a hospital in Vinton, punching a gaping hole in the sides of a building, a hospital spokesman said. It's a disaster here in Vinton. Get ready, FEMA's on their way, said Ted Kipper, chief operating officer at the Virginia Gay Hospital. Wow, what a nightmare. Virginia Gay Hospital in eastern Iowa, a town of about 5,250, quote, they had to clear a way for us to get to the hospital this morning. Just about every street has trees and limbs down and power lines down as well. Near Madrid, winds ripped off a newly constructed house roof and snapped trusses and flattened surrounding cornfields.
110-mile-an-hour winds here, folks. The storms felled power poles in Marshalltown, toppled a 180-foot radio tower near Toledo, and damaged Cloutier's fire station. Alliant Energy said in a news release the damage to the substations in Cloutier and Garwin will delay restoration of the power. Natural gas is also shut off in Garwin. And it continues. The utility asked customers who do have electricity in that area to conserve their power use. Major headway has been made, but we've got a decent day's work again Tuesday in Marshalltown. It also took the top right off of a school building, folks. Took it right off at the top of the wall line. You can see photographs on the web. The teachers and other people are inside the school. They're taking the pictures from above. They're inside the school picking up stuff. Just pulled the roof right off. Anyway, that's the article there. So there's lots of happenings all around the world. Disaster assistance. This is a flyer I picked up at a local grocery. For homeowners, renters, and businesses of all sizes, it's almost like a circus advertisement. Homeowners, renters, and businesses of all sizes. And private nonprofit organizations, that always throws me. Affected by severe storms, tornadoes, and flooding, beginning on April the 19th of 2011, you can register by phone at 800-621-FEMA, online at www.disasterassistance.gov, by a smartphone at m.fema.gov, and then they want you to have the following information available when you call in. They want a phone number and a reliable alternative in case they need to call you back. They want the address of the damaged property, your social security number, your current mailing address, a brief description of the damages, insurance information if you have insurance. They want your bank account and income information. They want, the things that are available might include grants to cover essential personal property losses, low interest loans available through the Small Business Administration, housing assistance, basic disaster recovery needs, basic needs not covered by insurance, and uninsured medical, dental, funeral, and other miscellaneous expenses. Of course, this is all available without regard to race, color, sex, religion, national origin, age, disability, or economic status. And anyone who believes they've been discriminated against, you contact FEMA's helpline at 800-621-FEMA. Wow. Pretty exciting stuff going on in the news basket this morning. Actually, it's very boring. Went up and studied all around. Had to go throughout the whole world to try and find a handful of news. There's so many things happening in the United States, but it's not even being covered by mainstream news. Why is that? I don't know. We come back from the other side. We're going to go into our study for today. August Comte, Henry St. Simon, and much more.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond,
TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, July the 12th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Really received a rather humorous little quip here from one of our listeners. I'll share it with you. It's brief. Teacher arrested. Here's the headline. Teacher arrested. Member of a notorious organization. Breaking news. Of course, this is a spoof, but it's pretty well written. A public school teacher was arrested today at John F. Kennedy International Airport as he attempted to board a flight while in possession of a ruler, a protractor, a compass, a slide rule, and a calculator. At a morning press conference, Attorney General Eric Holder said he believes the man is a member of the notorious algebra movement. He did not identify the man who has been charged by the FBI with carrying weapons of math instruction. Algebra is a problem for us, the Attorney General said. They derive solutions by means and extremes and sometimes go off on tangents in search of absolute values. They use secret code names like X and Y and refer to themselves as unknowns. But we have determined that they belong to a common denominator of the axis of medieval with coordinates in every country. As the Greek philanderer Isocles used to say, there are three sides to every triangle. When asked to comment on the arrest, Barry the usurper said, quote, if God had wanted us to have better weapons of math instruction, he would have given us more fingers and toes, close quote. White House aides told reporters they could not recall a more intelligent or profound statement by the president, even if he did read it off the teleprompter. It's believed that another Nobel Prize may follow. That, from a listener, rather interesting, algebra. Yes. Bad news for America, math instruction. Anyhow, they're calling for more and more people in the engineering field. Well, that's interesting. Looked up the word liberty. You know, it's one of those things you want to check out from time to time. Everybody's talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Of course, we've been tracking down that pursuit of happiness thing. And these days we might have Eric Peterson come on, and I'll probe his knowledge of the pursuit of happiness principle. But anyway, liberty is a rather interesting concept. This, again, referring to the Cassell's Latin Dictionary, Latin-English, English-Latin, where we find under liberty, L-I-B-E-R-T-Y, now this is a Latin term, it's libertas, libertas, all right? Libertas, excessive liberty, licentia, at liberty, liber, you are at liberty to do it. And then it continues. What is this all about? It's license, yeah. Licentia, license. And so we look under license and we find this, that license here, again, out of the Latin dictionary, is permission. Liberty is licentia, often in a bad sense, license. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, license. As we've discovered in the past, licenses simply are issued to do those sorts of things that would otherwise be considered unlawful or against the law or legal. So we have to be careful about what we wish for. Liberty? I think freedom is a much loftier goal. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's the tie, that tie, liber tie. It's the tie that binds up our freedom. It would be wonderful if all men were created equal and they all fell out of the cradle with equal skills, talents, and abilities, but that's not the way it is. And so what we have to do, I guess, is to throw some of our freedoms into a common basket, only taking out those that we're willing to extend to someone else. Right? But we hear about the standard of living all the time. Every time we turn around, this out of the Chapter 16 employee compensation, the introduction to business. I'll give you a brief paragraph, and then we're going to move into the new world of Henry St. Simon.
Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
You know, we'll take knowledge wherever we can find it. This introduction to business by Gloss Baker, published back in 1967 as a textbook for the first course in business on the collegiate level, has proved to be worthy reading. Certainly learning a lot as I go through it. But I'm also finding very commonly stated answers or basically definitions to a lot of the things, the questions that we have. Historically here, out of Chapter 16, Employee Compensation, historically it has been common for wage differentials to be found between men and women performing the same work. And this condition persists in many work areas. In 1963, the Equal Pay Act, an amendment to the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938. All right, so we're reaching back into this new world of Henry St. Simon. We're reaching back into the Industrial Revolution. Henry St. Simon came up with that term, coined the term industrial. All right, again, in 1963, the Equal Pay Act, an amendment to the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938, was passed by Congress, under which women must receive equal pay with men if their jobs are substantially the same and have the same working conditions.
This act became effective in June of 1964 and affects industries whose products enter into, and note this now, interstate commerce. It's kind of like the IRS and everything else. It's interstate commerce. The Commerce Clause is very important. A number of states have similar laws. Now, whenever you see a number of states having similar laws, again, now we're into the Uniform Law Commission, that apply to specified industries. Certain types of positions, such as executives and professional workers, are exempt. The unions, all right, the unions, now it's, you know, Workers of the World Unite, Karl Mordecai Marx and crew, the unions have generally tended to disapprove of different rates of pay for the same firm for the same work, except where this reflects seniority. Their philosophy, note this now, textbook, their philosophy of, quote, equal pay for equal work, close quote, assumes that the quality of work, you know what happens when you make an assumption, assumes that the quality of work done by all workers will be the same, which is not always so. Such thinking tends to deaden the ambition of the better workers without providing any stimulus to the poorer ones. And so, philosophically speaking, this harkens back to early England where we had the levelers. The levelers, you know? We're just all equal here. All men are created equal, right? And so now it continues in various ways and in various things. Here's the standard of living theory. We find this over and over again where we, the Western man, is supposed to raise up, you know, the people in Togo and Lesotho to the 1952 level of Ward and June Cleaver living in suburban America in their level entry two-bedroom Rambler with a 57 Chevy out in the driveway, right? Standard of living theory. And there's a variety of different theories, economic theory of wages, the marginal productivity theory, the bargaining theory, and I'll just share with you the standard of living theory. These are all theories, all right? They're theories, somebody's idea of a good time. The standard of living theory, which is a comparatively recent development in wage theories. You got that? 1967, comparatively recent development in wage theories, finds its roots in a rather pervasive belief, boy, I love it. Talk about philosophy, we're deep into it. In a rather pervasive belief, there's a lie in every belief, that wages should be at least high enough to ensure a worker's reasonable standard of living. Wait a minute, we've studied business long enough to know that man goes into business, do what? Make profit. If he can't make a profit, he gets out of business. Anyway, continuing here from the discussion, the presumption upon which this theory is based, okay, presumptions, we talked about fallacies in logic the other morning, is that all employers should pay wages high enough so that their employees may enjoy not only the necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter, but also education for their children, adequate medical and dental care, and possibly savings. This theory is obviously concerned only with the lower level of wages and seeks to establish a humanitarian, well, that's August Comte right there, altruism, living for others, all right? Seeks to establish a humanitarian rather than an economic basis for such minima. To hell with the business model, we're doing it all for the children, right? It is therefore not to be considered as an overall wage-fixing theory. The apparent assumption with regard to firms that cannot afford to pay such a minimum rate is that they must either find ways of so doing or go out of business as socially undesirable. The concept of standard of living wages is at the root of all minimum wage legislation. From that, we can also understand living wages. All right. Now, what happens when labor doesn't get its way? Well, they strike. You know, we strike, right? It strikes. Gotta watch these strikers, you know, general strikes. Well, strikes. Labor's methods, right? This is all supposed to be the permanent revolution between the proletariat and the bourgeoisie, right? even though the labor doesn't understand that if they kill the entrepreneur, they lose their jobs. They haven't quite figured that out, but the union leaders never tell them that story. Labor's method. A strike is a temporary refusal by employees to continue their work until their demands have been granted by management. The term walkout is used as a synonym for strike. Usually, the workers on strike remain away from the plant, but there have been two types of strikes in which they remain in the plant. These are the sit-down strikes, and boy, did we have that during the free speech movement in Berserkly, California and elsewhere. Sit-downs, in which the workers appear at their post but refuse to perform their appointed task or to leave the premises until their demands are met. And the slow-down strike, where the workers continue to work but at a markedly reduced tempo. Unfortunately, that almost is industry-wide nowadays, so that production is curtailed but not completely halted. The sit-down strike has been declared illegal by the courts in some states and has almost disappeared. Here's another one. In a jurisdictional strike, the union tries to force the employer to recognize it instead of another union for certain stated types of work. Under the Taft-Hartley Act, most jurisdictional strikes are unfair labor practices and, as such, are prohibited. A wildcat or outlaw strike occurs when a group of white workers go on strike without the official consent of the officers of the union or in violation of the terms of the contract. You've got to really study these unions, folks. Go back to Gustavus Myers, the great history of the great American fortunes. These unions are just as corrupt as some of the worst of the capitalista. Anyway, a wildcat or an outlaw strike occurs when a group of workers go on strike without the consent of the union. The sympathy strike is found where a group of workers go out on strike of sympathy with another group who are also on strike. Picketing? Picketing consists of posting one or more persons at the entrance to the struck plant for the purpose of dissuading or preventing persons from entering the plant and of informing the public that a strike is in progress. Mass picketing occurs when a large number of pickets assemble at the entrances to a struck plant. Soldiering on the job, sabotage, boycotts, primary boycotts. It's all coming up, baby. Lockouts, blacklists, injunctions, yellow dog contracts.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And, of course, your calls are welcome at 866-841-1065. Let's hold on to the idea of Henry St. Simon for just a moment and jump out to Montana and visit with Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Will. Always a great talking to you. Hey, you hit on one of my interests in all what you're talking about. And I always thought equal pay was a way to keep the working class from being able to work himself out of the working class. It's a same like overtime. You know, they tax you so much, sometimes it's not even worth it to work overtime because they take so much, but you need whatever you could, so you go ahead and let them rip you off a little more. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, you take something like cup two framers arrive on the job. We both get there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Dave, I grab my tools and get my lunch bucket, my coffee, and I go on to the job and I start swinging the framing hammer. And by noon, I got wall sections going up all over the place. You know, I don't stop for lunch. I just keep right on going, drink my coffee on the fly, smoke while I'm working, you know, eat my sandwich when I want a sandwich, have a cookie when I have a cookie. And by 3 o'clock, I've done, you know, 10 hours worth of work in an 8-hour day. The other guy, he gets the same money as I do, and he's still over there trying to sharpen his pencil.
Right. That's, well, see, that's where it comes down to where, like this, all created equal, right? I think that has been used against us. I think the main idea of that was that we're all entitled, we're created equal and entitled equally to these natural rights.
The natural law.
The natural rights, right? Everybody wants to drag in intelligence, strength, ability right away, because as soon as they hear that word equal, they know, well, I'm better than that guy. But we're not talking, I don't think that statement is talking about ability, because that's mixing rights and work, which they've done. Like the right to work, I think, is crazy. I think it's your ability that gives you the right to work.
Well, that's why, Dave, why I don't use the word natural rights. I call it, I just use natural law, the laws of nature, and nature's God, natural law. See, when you use the word right, rights have implied duties, okay? For every right you have duties that go along with it. Now, the creator of the universe hasn't established the list of duties for Dave, all right? They've given you...
Well, that duty, I think, is self-explanatory in that we're all entitled these certain rights that we could live together in harmony. You know,
but like, when man institutes governments among themselves to secure the blessing of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's where we start talking. That's where we start to bring in things like rights and duties. Now, if you and I both have, you know, are endowed by our Creator with all of the same in the same bundle of law, natural law. I move, I eat, I breathe, I drink, I sleep, I excrete, I procreate, I do all of those things. So can you. And in that regard, we're absolutely perfectly equal. The idea of equal under rights and equal under laws, that just starts to open up a big can of worms, because you can imagine that the laws that apply to...
I think we're equal to the entitlement of, like, that we'd be able to speak. Like the First Amendment contains everything they used to kill you for.
Yeah, that's true.
If you weren't the right religion, they'd kill you.
Yeah.
If you said something that they didn't want to hear, they'd kill you.
Yeah.
If you got together and wrote that down, they'd kill you. If you got together to tell the king to F off, they'd kill you.
Yeah.
See, we are all entitled certain rights, you know. And I think that's where we're talking, but they bring in the ability thing to hold us in our classes. Like, I think the workers resent the owners because the owners bow to the tyranny that allows them to operate, and in turn that drags the worker into more slavery.
Well, part of the real problem between employers, let's say, the entrepreneurs or the projecteurs, and the workers, the laborer himself, part of it is a lack of understanding. You know, this is one of the things that I've been trying to do all these years on the broadcast, is get people to understand how all these parts and pieces work together, so that instead of, you know, walking around inside of this haze of laborer or wage slave, that we would rise up to the level of entrepreneurs, become that replacement set going forward, where everybody inside of a free market has an opportunity to use their talents and their abilities to bring something to the marketplace and exchange. And so,
right, in unity, and that's where the elite don't want to happen. They don't want that middle class and the working class to unite. They keep us divided, and the key to freedom is that there is really no class. If the middle class and the working class unite and help each other out, and now this is where it gets like everybody going to say communism or socialism. It's shared responsibility, shared liability, and shared cooperation. Where, you know, and then you get the shared profit.
Well, you know, have you ever heard of the phrase in the Bible, maybe, Dave, about a profitable servant? You know, you have a profitable servant and you have an unprofitable servant. The example that I gave earlier, I get to the job site and before...
Right,
you know,
and those unprofitable ones should be done away with, but they're mixing rights and work together where you can't get rid of that guy that's not pulling his weight.
That's right. They brought in the union.
That's wrong. That's wrong. And that's where the elite is trapping us.
Well,
the merchant shouldn't stand for that.
Well, let's put this in the right perspective, okay? And there's three levels, not two, all right? First of all, the entrepreneur is that middle class. They are that bourgeoisie that Marx threw the proletariat against. Now, by creating a division between the people that actually bring the work and those that are actually doing the work, they had to create this division in there. But then on top of that is the financier. The entrepreneur needs to go to the financier to get the money to do the business. And so it's the financiers that don't want their hegemony disrupted at all. And so they've created in the background this antagonism between the employers and the employees. And so this
right.
is
and that's know, where we could beat them at.
That's exactly right. We bring together the working class, we bring together the proletariat and the bourgeoisie, and we just put it in the face of the financier.
In freedom.
Yeah, absolutely.
That says we're all entitled to.
Well,
know,
I don't like to. I don't.
Going
I,
after that.
I don't like to use entitlements either. You know, because it just.
Well, not entitled. All right.
It muddies the water, but let's look at it this way. Let's say that we get away from having, the Rothschilds and the Schiffs and the Warburgs and the Goldschmidts and all the rest of them. Let's say if we can break their system so that we no longer have to depend on them for the capital necessary to get business and work done. You just break their bank. break it completely. Now we can go back to the standpoint where we're working with people who have great ideas, the entrepreneurs, and the people who actually have the ability to work on it. Now, going back to the difference between laborers themselves, the profitable and the unprofitable servant, what we need to do in this process is to get everybody to understand that what the employer needs you to do for him, because the employees create all of the wealth. what the employer needs the employee to do is that the employee has to earn at least twice his hourly wage for his employer in order to keep that business floating. You've got all the taxes, you've got the overhead, you've got the trucks, you've got the tools.
Well, so, that's what I'm talking about, the bowing to the government to operate.
Exactly.
So we shouldn't put up with that, and the workers should stand with the merchants or the middle class to fight that. That's where we could start the unity.
Exactly.
And capitalism has kind
of... Radio. You found it. This is Oracle Broadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com. You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we returned once again, just kind of taking a sidebar in life here with Dave in Montana, talking about entrepreneurs and laborers and workers and profitable servants and unprofitable servants, and wrapping our mind around some of the more philosophically radical concepts that we live under. But as we were going into the break, walked and talked right into the break, but we were looking at, you know, this dichotomy, and again, as I've been trying to point out now, between these two the workers that I was describing, Dave, is that, you know, if you got Carpenter A, and when he comes to work, he swings his hammer, he's getting paid $15 an hour, and he consistently returns $30 worth of product, that's a profitable servant. That's a guy that's helping to pay the overhead, all the taxes, the benefits, and the things that we consider to be government tyranny against the employer. And at the same time, you've got employee B over there, Carpenter B, and he inconsistently produces anywhere from $0 to $7 an hour, and basically everybody else...
Will.
Yeah, everybody else on the job is carrying his weight for him, you know. So
I know it well. I was in concrete for like 25 years, and we got guys that, you know, wouldn't carry two forms. You know, they only carry one form. And then all of a sudden I say, he's getting paid the same as me. I'm just going to carry one form. You know?
Yeah.
And that slows everything down.
That's it.
And that's what goes on. But I think that's the owner's responsibility to see that that one dude is dropping.
You know, you know from your own construction experience, Dave, that when jobs start running slim, or when work starts getting scarce, they're always the first ones that are hacked, and the guys that consistently turn in the most product during the day, they're the guys that stay on, and the crews get scaled down, and they get the special projects on the side. So anyway, the long story.
I wanted to touch on capitalism for a second.
Go ahead.
It kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth, because in the past 30 or 40 years, I've seen that capitalism has an allegiance to money and cheap labor, and that's it.
It's dependent upon it.
They don't care about America. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about liberty. They don't care about the worker. And we've seen what they were all over in China for the cheap labor.
Sure, but
then,
now look at
what's going on right now with capitalism, the private prison system.
Okay, hold on a minute, Dave, because what we've got here is we're missing one of the most essential parts of all of this. The problem that we had, and we studied that in Gustavus Meyer's book, where we saw from the very beginning of this country that instead of having a system of representative government, constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, what we got was a bunch of sellout whores that were bought and sold for by the capitalists and the businesses and the railroads and the industries, and they've been running the three branches, and now four branches of government, ever since. So we lost our representatives in there. Now let's just take that back a little bit and say, okay, the capitalists have run amok. They've gone wild. Well, they would. Profit is everything to a capitalist. They want it. The only reason a man is in business is to make a profit. Where we've fallen down is our lack of vigilance, that we need to bind them down with the chains of not only the Constitution, but in law. And if you want to have a business in China, by all means, have a business in China. But Bubba, you're going to pay a tax for your offshoring. You're going to pay a tax when you bring it back. Tariffs again. We need to reinstitute that. We need to protect our workforce on our country. We need to.
Capitalism is really the thing dragging us into this globalism, because they don't want to pay that tax of allegiance to their home nation.
And they got the best government that their money could buy, you know. And you could say the same thing for labor. Labor has the best money or best government that money could buy as well. So the real problem here, and this goes back to all men being created equal, we're equal under the law. But under our system, we no longer have law. We're all operating in equity. And that's a devilish system.
Mm-hmm.
So we got problems, and we need to fix them. We can. The tools are all there. But unless and until we have the political will, not only in our state houses, but in Congress, we cannot get back our representative system of government. So this is something we have to do, Dave.
The fix is in the unity of the middle class and the working class. I think that is one big hurdle to get over, because the elites want us at each other's throats.
Continuously.
And once we unite, we're free.
That's right. Exactly.
We're on
the road to a reconstruction, and that's what we absolutely need to do.
We need morals for that.
Well, you're not going to get. We're not going to get anywhere as long as Louisiana, you know, legalizes, you know, anal and oral sodomy. You better believe.
Right.
You know, we have a problem. From the standpoint of, well, multiculturalism has done this for one, but so has allowing a lot of these various non-governmental organizations to creep in, this idea that I've talked about in the past of pluralism, where you get all of these little greasy wheels, sniping, snipping groups like the Morris Sleaze and the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they're in there, you know, lobbying at Congress to get this stuff passed, this legislation.
And they're only used as a tool of attack by...
Exactly.
Find out where they're funded from, right?
And they represent the tiniest little, minuscule number of our people, you know?
Making sure we're at each other's throats all the time.
Exactly.
That's how we could beat them at it.
That's it.
All right. You have a great day, man. Thank you for letting me speak.
No problem. Thanks for calling in, Dave. Always like your calls. You know, good common sense stuff. All right. So going back now into this new world of Henry St. Simon, really good comments. I appreciate them. Always, you know, your calls are welcome, folks. 866-841-1065. Started in on the introduction to this book, all right, by Frank E. Manuel. This is out of the Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame Press, 1963. So this book is basically contemporary with the business text that we've been working out of, which is contemporary with the law dictionaries that I've been working out of. So all of these things work together, the same mindsets, the same research available, the same levels of propaganda and propagation moving at the same time. But this book, the introduction to a book, is oftentimes overlooked. But, you know, it's kind of like an old axiom that you basically, in writing a book or doing a radio presentation or something like that, you start out by telling the people what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. Kind of an interesting little flip there. But you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them, you know? It kind of wraps it up for the audience real well. Well, and a good introduction will do that. And this is a lengthy book. This is not a shorty, 428 pages here, all right? About a very, very complex subject, Auguste Comte, positivism and the Saint-Simonians. So we started in under this introduction. I'm going to continue right where I left off yesterday. Leading 19th century social theorists, and this is part two of our series on Comte and positivism, leading 19th century social theorists varied sharply in their estimates. And I want you to pay attention to the names, okay? We're laying out names. And all of these names, these are the savants, these are all the various theorists that are involved in this, what has come to be the positivist worldview. The leading 19th century social theorists varied sharply in their estimates. Again, we're talking about St. Simon. John Stuart Mill recalled that St. Simon was considered a clever original. Carlyle admired and translated him. To Nietzsche, I've read from Nietzsche and John Stuart Mill, haven't read anything yet from Carlyle. To Nietzsche, he was a fanatic in the same class with Savonarola, Luther, Rousseau, and Robespierre. Modern sociologists have either raised him on an intellectual pedestal or treated him with contempt. Emile Durkheim considered him the founder of positivism and of sociology. Pareto disdained him as a buffoon. Mosca lauded him as a brilliant forerunner of his own theory of the elite. In very recent years, he has awakened interest in the diverse areas of knowledge. Toynbee returned to the original text for parallels to illustrate his own theories of philosophical history. Schumpeter, though aware of weaknesses, appreciated his pungent sense of reality. Now, the Koch brothers hail Schumpeter as their financial guru, and their business model is, and you can find it on the Koch brothers' website, creative destruction. So it hails all the way back here to St. Simon at the time of the founding of this nation. All right? We showed that with you, shared that with you yesterday. Henry St. Simon at the Battle of Yorktown with George Washington. On the whole, Saint-Simon is the way that most people say it, Saint-Simon, has been written about far more often than he has been read and understood for his own sake in the locus, vocalis, localis, the locus, the loci, and the vocalis, all the same Latin area there, in the locus of his creation. He was both an innovator and a copier. He had great insights, and he also wrote a good deal of nonsense, a combination not infrequent in the history of human thought. And he had more to say than has usually been grasped by those studying him, primarily as an introduction to something else. The manner in which his works were made available to later generations has served to multiply these misconceptions. Remember that the Saint-Simonians bought up all of his stuff and put out a little library of it. Most of it's still in French, hasn't been translated. We'll be right back.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from DistributedLiving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
So, unfortunately, sliding into the last segment of today's 2-hour broadcast and continuing now, I can assure you that the average man, the average reader, the average researcher has no clue about what we're talking. And yet, once you start to understand the grain, and once you get the kernel, and once you start getting the language of positivism and positivistic thinking in your mind from all of these documents that we're talking about, all these various authors, once you start to see the magnitude of the impact of Henry St. Simon and Auguste Comte, you will find it everywhere, everywhere. I talk about socialism. We talk a little bit about communism. Not too concerned about communism. Socialism is really the better usage there. They're all different variants on socialism. But underlying all of this is positivism. All of it. And the more you study into it, whether you're talking about technocracy, you know, I coined this term the other day, techno-totalitarianism, no matter whether you're talking about that or utopianism and all of these various things, you just keep coming right back in here into this time period and this individual. And it's amazing because it involves the positive economic systems, the positive philosophy, the positive polity, which is politics, the positive religion. It's all in there. It's all-encompassing. It was so all-encompassing that John Stuart Mill, a disciple of these two fellows, went back, freaked out, went back to England, set it all aside,
and he immediately wrote On Liberty. He knew that there had to be an escape route because these two Frenchmen had sewn it up, and that if it caught wind and it grew legs or caught wind, that it would sail and it would walk on its own, and it has. But just continuing now, on the whole, St. Simon has been written about far more often than he's been read. And the same could be said for August Comte. People use a little snippet here, a little snippet there, but they've never sat down and read these guys. August Comte, I mean, the guy was a nutbag. He was a lunatic. And he was diabolically brilliant. He tried to commit suicide by throwing himself fully clothed in the middle of the winter into the river. A passerby fished him out, probably did the whole world a great disservice, but saved his life. The guy's a nut job, all right? But he was extremely influential. So let's continue. And again, this is the problem, is that we read snippets and we don't get the full meal deal. It takes hours and hours. I've spent 7 years studying it. You know, that's more than a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. 7 years studying positivism in all of its various formats and other things to go along with it so that you can understand it. But you can find it everywhere, in law, in historical writing, historical stuff, you know. You can find it in the writings of Carol Quigley. Carol Quigley's History of Civilizations is a mirror of August Comte's. The manner in which his works were made available to later generations has served to multiply the misconceptions. There was a knockdown, drag-out fight between the St. Simonians and the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds prevailed over Credit Mobilier, but they quashed, if you will, the St. Simonian movement. But some of the St. Simonians, basically French bankers and Jews at that, Elie Halévy, I have another book we can share on that one. And they basically stayed a background issue. Unitarian Church, Unitarians, Unitarianism, they meet in the same building in England that the positivist religion meets. Wouldn't say there's a lot of difference between one form of universal religion of humanity and the other, Unitarianism. The manner in which his works were made available to later generations has served to multiply the misconceptions. His empire writings, now bibliophilic rarities, were either published in limited private editions or remained in manuscript until decades after his death. The restoration works were periodicals issued irregularly in a variety of strange formats. And this was part of St. Simon's real trouble. It wasn't until he hooked up with August Comte that he started to really have some cogent flowing here. But unfortunately, the rift, again, as I mentioned, the schism between these two men was that August Comte wasn't being given credit for his original thinking and writing. And St. Simon was trying to appropriate it for his own work. And that caused a lot of grief between them. And they had finally split. Posthumous editions, now I should continue, followed by excerpts, circulars, lithographs, public letters, and re-editions with emendations, a bewilderment to any bibliographer. So it's really hard to get down to the original thoughts. Posthumous editions of St. Simon's works, composed of selections only, were always prepared with bias. First, by the St. Simonians, Rodriguez in 1832 and 1841, right, this is prior to the Revolutionary War. This is while Marx and Engels were still sharpening their pencils. Hubbard in 1857, Lemonnier in 1859, and the supposedly definitive edition by former members of the cults in 1865 to 1878. So if you find anything from the St. Simonians published between 1865 and 1878, and they do give some references there, then you're on to some better material. When Bouglet published excerpts in 1925, he tried to make another kind of precursor of Saint Simon, the father of respectable late 19th century sociology. All right? But of course it was Auguste Comte that coined that term. French writers in search of native ancestors for modern communism have lately revived him, and their distortions make the pious Saint Simonians seem meticulous scholars by contrast. As for example, the excerpts edited by Daltrey bent upon metamorphosizing St. Simon into a Marxian materialist by chopping up individual texts. You know, cut, paste, cut, paste. That's what Jefferson did to the Bible. Cut and paste. By comparison, Volgin's Russian edition of 1948 is a balanced selection introduced with straightforward preface. Markham's English translation of selected writings of St. Simon, though excellent for its limited scope, does not pretend to present a full-blooded impression of his work. Even the first complete editions in the manuscripts, which by M. Albert or Alfred Perrier has deposited in the Bibliothèque Nationale, do not solve the problems of expounding St. Simon's thought. So all that just simply to say that there's just a whole gob and a bunch more about this guy than the average man has ever sensed. It took the mature, jumping ahead, it took the mature Auguste Comte of the Système de Politique Positive, which is a system of positive polity, positive politics, to compose with precision and to string out in volume after volume of involved prose what St. Simon had tossed off casually. And that was St. Simon's downfall. That was his downfall. For his own private reading, he liked novellas, little books, you know. He wasn't anywhere near as systemic and as encyclopedic as Auguste Comte. Saint-Simon's industrial doctrine ended in a vision of the good society. Now, you see a word like that, and then you think of Lyndon Baines Johnson, you know, the great society. And then you can start to tie these things together century by century. A social order administered by what? Working industrialists, scientists, artists, and engineers, all in the service not of the state, but of the most numerous and the poorest classes. That kind of turns everything on its head and pulls out a little bit of what Dave from Montana was talking about. Who do we work for? What was a government? What is government organized for? It's to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To whom? To the people. Right? Again, a social order administered by working industrialists, scientists, artists, and engineers, all in the service, not of the state, but of the most numerous and the poorest classes. Because he grasped the essence of the new industrialized society before it became bewilderingly in its complexity, all right, he could see where it was going. It's just like somebody today writing about transhumanism and all the rest of this technocracy stuff. You can look forward. I can see this box canyon, all right? And we don't want to go in there because there's no escaping it. If you go in there, it's over. St. Simon's work is a revelation of Western social ideals in modern times. Though it is doubted that his ideas profoundly altered the historic process, in the 19th century, many of his formulations became common coin, even among men who had never heard his name or read his books. And that's why many people considered St. Simon to be a savant, a forward looker, a forward thinker. He was not necessarily a rearward thinker so much as was Auguste Comte. The reconstruction of St. Simon's biography presents problems analogous to the interpretation of his works. He himself wrote many autobiographical sketches, none of which jibes with any other. So he wasn't exactly an honest man. Since he blithely reorganized his life history from time to time to fit political and intellectual exigencies of the moment, he was an opportunist. Well, we'll continue with our study of the new world of St. Simon tomorrow and throughout the week. I've got a whole bunch of material. We might be on this for some time. Thanks for listening. I'll be back then, and I hope you will be too. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Zlobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.